Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan and I will be touching on the precious metal sector and even a couple stocks, or at least areas of stocks that Jordan sees opportunity in. But the first thing I want to talk about here, Jordan, is this whole concept around real yields and how that potentially drives the metals market. Let's focus on real yields, where they are going. So real interest rates, usually calculated some basis on inflation compared to the underlying yields in treasury bonds. I will be posting a link to the treasury website that outlines where they see real interest rates. Now, this does use some treasury inflation protected securities, so TIPS, which really are inflation expectations, and it breaks down different timelines from the 5-year the whole way up to the 30-year inflation or interest rates. One thing that we have noticed here is that real yields have actually been decreasing over the last couple weeks. It seems surprising to me because what we are seeing is an increase in yields on the long end, especially, but clearly inflation expectations are outpacing some of these increases in yields. Jordan, break down what we're seeing in some of this data presented on the Treasury website.
Okay, Corey. So I like to look at the real five-year yield that they have. When you're looking at real interest rates, I think it's best to look at the 2-year or the 5-year. I don't look at the 30-year and things of that long of a tenure. So looking at the real 5-year yield, I mean, that has been pretty stable as precious metals have corrected. But in the last couple weeks, it appears to have broken down the real 5-year yield to lower levels. And as you said, what this is telling us is that, and this is a market-based indicator, that the market is forecasting much stronger inflation now suddenly. And we're seeing that reflected in an unwind of the buy bonds, buy gold trade. And so capital is flowing into emerging markets, the stock market, and also commodities that are not precious metals. So that explains what's been happening. And so even though, I mean, precious metals have had a pretty good move over the last couple of weeks, but we're having a sharp pullback in the last couple of days. And so they could still be, you know, they could be potentially here setting up a double bottom over the next week or two. That's one possibility. But that explains why we're not seeing, even though real interest rates are falling, that explains why we've yet to see precious metals really benefit. And again, that's because the initial reaction to that is an unwind in the buy bonds, buy gold trade. And the reaction is, well, okay, we're going to see a recovery. We're going to see higher inflation by emerging markets, buy commodities, buy stocks, but don't buy gold and silver, at least not yet initially. So that explains where we are and why that's happening, despite something that's a positive fundamental development for precious metals.
So Jordan, when we look further out on the curve, though, you look at the 10-year, even better, the 20 or 30-year, we're not seeing the same degree in moves, in a decrease in real interest rates. Do you think that's also playing a role in maybe a slowdown in precious metals prices? Because still the long end has been moving quite aggressively. The 10-year yield has almost doubled in the last 4 months.
It's a good question, but I don't think, when it comes to real interest rates, I think the market is focused most on the 2-year and the 5-year and less so in the longer term securities.
Okay, and that is, I guess, what causes most of the money flows recently, but still, overall, we are seeing low real yields, and you go back against the 5-year, and where we're at right now, -1.45, this is a low so far for this year. I'm going back throughout the year, and I'm not seeing it that low again. Why aren't the precious metals breaking out? It's simply because of this rotation of money into these more lagging sectors like emerging markets?
Yes, I think so. Because I mean, remember what was happening up until a couple months ago. The overriding perception is COVID, the economy's really weak. There's a lot of suffering. You know, we have to pump more money into the system. So real interest rates are going down. And when those things, when that's the overriding theme, when it's more of a economic weakness than a reflation trade or economic fears, then capital flows into bonds and also gold at the same time. And so we're simply seeing an unwind of that trade, because the people who bought gold for that reason are selling, and they're putting that capital into emerging markets or the stock market or maybe copper. So that's what's hurt gold, at least very recently. And Corey, gold and silver did needed to correct. They had a huge move up for 4 months. I mean, really a record move. So they were going to correct. And you know what I just said, that's the fundamental reason, or not the fundamental reason, that's the, in terms of capital flows, that's the reason why they have corrected. And at least in the last couple of weeks, why they've been a little weak, considering real interest rates are moving in the direction that should benefit precious metals. But I do, you know, all that being said, Corey, I do think we have made a low in the sector. We might get a retest that's successful, and then we'll see more of a potential rebound into January. So I'm still encouraged and hopeful that precious metals will rebound and follow the direction that real interest rates have been moving in.
That's fair. One other thing to consider too is that I think you can even make the argument that bonds were due for a bit of a pullback as well, because hey, yields got extremely low, especially on the 10-year, historically low this year, and now they are simply bouncing back. They're not breaking out to the upside by any extent. So that goes to your comment that look, even though real yields might be going down, you need to look inside some of that data and understand that where money flows are going, and that pullback really in the fear trade. Let's talk a little bit about one company that is doing very well today. And I want to use this chart as a barometer for the whole argument that gold and gold stocks are bottoming. I'm looking at Integra Resources, so traded ITR on the Venture Exchange. They came out with some very nice drill results. And when you look at the weekly chart, that's what I have up here, it really looks like through the month of November, the stock was bottoming and now is starting to move higher. Again, not necessarily breaking out, but this does look like a pretty solid bottom to me. And it falls in line with some of the comments from other people in the sector saying these better stocks are bottoming and that should be encouraging for investors. Give us a little insights on this Integra chart, please.
Okay, well, if you're looking at the weekly chart, as you noted, I mean, it's been coming down, at least the Canadian, if we're looking at the Canadian chart, it's been coming down to the low fours and has tested it quite a few times over the last couple months, starting to push higher this week on good news. We'll see if it closes the week around this level. That would be very encouraging. And also, Corey, the stock, it's corrected about 30%, and Integra's a pretty, I mean, this is not like a 50 million or a 70 million or 100 million market cap junior. I mean, it's a fairly, you could say, an established junior quality company. And so like everything else, it did have a great move, but a 30% correction, I mean, that's pretty sizable. It didn't quite touch the 200 day. Would have liked to see that, you know, I don't know, maybe that'll happen at some point later this year. But I do think looking at this chart, I mean, you can make the case that in terms of price, the low has been hit, that it's not going to go any lower than it traded in recent months. And so I'm seeing something similar in a number of juniors. And so that's, you know, that comes back to my nuanced view that I've been talking about in recent weeks. We're at a bottom. We're not going to go below the bottom. We probably should rally going into January, maybe even February as well. But at the same time, you know, more things have to happen to see precious metals get ready for that next big, huge leg higher. A lot more has to happen for me to predict that's going to happen in the next, you know, 6 months, 9 months, or 12 months.
And also something that you and I have talked about even last week was the potential of a double bottom. So a retest of these recent lows. How likely do you think that is to happen on some of these stronger stocks?
You know, on some of these stronger stocks, I think it's unlikely. But just looking at the correction we've seen in, or not the correction, but looking at the rally we had in the last week or two, and now it's starting to pull back. And I'm talking about gold, GDX, and GDXJ specifically. There's a chance we could be setting up a double bottom in those charts. And that doesn't, I think stronger juniors, if we do that, that doesn't mean that stronger juniors will have to make a double bottom themselves. You know, they may only sell off a little bit and not even retest their low.
So don't necessarily be waiting for that retest in some of those stronger stocks then. Jordan, let's wrap it up with a general comment then on where you're seeing opportunity in the metals sector. Obviously, there are some strong exploration companies, smaller companies that are doing well, but those can be, in all fairness, fairly hard to pick, especially if they're a newer discovery. But we also have a lot of companies, say, small-scale producers or these companies that are in kind of a development phase, moving their project a bit closer to some sort of production. Where are you seeing the sweet spot and, let's call it, value in some of these stocks?
Well, I think if you have a 2-year outlook or even a 2 to 3 year outlook, developers that are going to build their projects, there's some that I'm seeing really, really good value and really good potential upside over the next 2 to 3 years. What I'm looking for, Corey, is the project is scalable, so it has potential to, production has potential to grow, perhaps beyond what the economic study said. Exploration also plays a factor into that. Secondly, it's a project that they can finance themselves. I'm not looking for a $100 million company to build a mine that has a capex of $600 million. That's just not going to happen. So the numbers have to be reasonable as far as what they can raise to be able to build the project. And that's basically, those are the things I'm looking for. Scalable, easy to finance. Those are really the two most important things. And third, you could say they have some kind of track record as building a mine before. But there's maybe three or a handful of these types of development stories out there that they look really and really solid to me as potential big winners over the next 2 or 3 years. So I'm seeing a lot of value in that area. And it's just interesting. Someone made a comment to me a couple of days ago. You see some of these development companies and their market caps are so low. Their market caps are like the same as like an optionality play or an exploration play. And you look at the two together and there's no way that these optionality or exploration companies are going to make the same kind of moves that some of these developers will make, assuming they build the projects and everything's successful. So yeah, I really like, if you don't mind holding for a couple of years, I really like some stories in the development group.
Now, do you care so much about jurisdiction too? Are you putting much weight on jurisdiction or is it more just the whole financing and team aspect?
A jurisdiction doesn't matter that much to me, honestly. If they're in a really, really bad jurisdiction, they're not going to be able to raise the money. So a jurisdiction doesn't bother me, consider as long as they're able to raise the money and the management has a track record of building a project before. That should allay your fears about jurisdiction. If someone's able to give them the capital needed to build a mine, there's probably not too bad of problems in that jurisdiction. I think people in our industry place a little bit too much importance on jurisdiction. And the other thing is if you're in a not so great jurisdiction, Corey, that can give you even more value. Meaning that, you just look at the stock and the upside potential, there's a lot of upside because the market doesn't think it's that great of a jurisdiction. So that, yeah, jurisdiction, it's important. I'm not trying to minimize it, but I think people in our industry place a little bit too much importance on it.
Okay. Hey, Jordan, we're going to wrap it up there. Good comments, though. And I think it's always important to look at something like real interest rates, because so many people comment on them, but so many people use different metrics to analyze them, and sometimes they simply look at what's going on in real rates and not dive into why that is happening and what is actually driving those moves in real rates. So hopefully that cleared up some stuff for everybody. Jordan, great chatting with you, buddy. We will chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.